So we're going through the book of Acts. For some of you guys that have been with us, Acts has become our study. And the reason it's our study is because we study the life of Christ all through the Gospel of John. And we said, you know what? When Christ left, He said that there would be a continuance of His ministry. And He also said that He would send us the Holy Spirit. And so what we're doing is we're in the process of going to the book, going to the Word, and to see what is the work of God as it's been clearly laid out in the New Testament, the New Testament church. How did the New Testament church begin and what held it together? What was the work of the Holy Spirit in this? These are all the things in which we're going to see, and there's a lot to cover in Acts. I want you to know this morning a little bit as far as introduction is that up until now, and we watched the disciples in so many different environments. I'm talking about the disciples of Christ. We've seen them walk with Christ. We've seen them follow Him as He says, hey, come after, follow Me. And they don't know everything that means. We've seen them walk with Him through the miracles in which He's done. Seen Him heal people. Seen Him speak truth in people's lives. We've seen them also fumble at times, right? Not knowing what was going to happen. We've watched them live their life before Christ and find out that He was two steps ahead of them all the time. He always had a plan before they knew what it was. We're going to start to see, though, the fruit of that. Because what we're going to see is the disciples are going to actually start living out all the things that Christ had taught them. All the period of time we see Christ teaching and we get to see they're involved, but Christ is the center, isn't He? Christ doesn't share His glory with His disciples in this respect. It is always going to be Christ. But Christ is not there. Christ went to the heavens. He went to His throne to sit there and to pray for us. But He did not leave us without a testimony and did not leave His disciples without some clear direction. And so in Acts chapter 1, we're going to start to see them live this out. And so I'm excited to see them excel in this area and to see why they excelled. What difference is we're here? Before we get into our text this morning, I just want to, I want to pray for you because coming into our text this morning, I realize that there's always a challenge and some questions we must answer. And sometimes we need to answer them very early on within the worship service. And so let me just give you a few that I've thought about within myself in preparation because you don't even know the title of today's sermon yet. Where are we at? I want, as we go through our text this morning, I want you to ask yourself, where am I at in relationship to the message in which we're receiving today? Not where are we at as a church statement, but where am I at? Last week we saw that Christ gave His disciples a mission. You will be My witnesses. We got to see that. Where are we at? Next thing is, why does it really matter? And I know a lot of times I don't want to ask that question because for me, there can come times when I will put forth quite a bit of energy in my own study and wanting to learn. And I'll realize that myself, I'll forget it in a short period of time. But also, it really hurts when I find out that somebody else forgot it. You're like, well, why does it matter? What is the purpose? Why do we go to the Word time and time again? Why does it really matter? Because if it doesn't, then there's a challenge there, isn't it? And we need to be pulling people because we absolutely know it does matter. And last, before we close out today as well, I just want to say, what are we going to do after we get done with our message? For me, the sermon has always got to be tied to what's the difference going to be in our church? What are we going to do based upon this? It will never be that we just do this. Good sermon. Hey, that's a good sermon. What are we going to do? You can say, good sermon, I appreciate that. But what are we going to do? Right? What's going to be the next steps? All these things we're going to answer today, but first let's just pray together. Because I want to pray for you and me. Father, we stop for just a second and realize that that it is necessary for us to respond to Your Word. Your Word cannot be read, it cannot be spoken of, and it not have a response. Sometimes we may think that we can remain neutral or we can not move in certain directions and towards obedience or that sometimes we may think that some are just maybe just not really paying attention, just not very concerned what it says. But that's just not the truth, Father. There's always a response to truth. So I pray this. I pray I will be able to accurately speak what is true today. And then, Father, I pray that you'll do a work in the life of our church. And that, Father, by your Spirit and by your Word, that we will see the actions that line up with it. It's very needed. It's needed within my own soul. Father, I need to be able to see the continuance of my faith in you. Continuance of my faith, and as my faith builds upon your Word, is that I need to see it. I need to know what it looks like. And Father, the people I know that are here this morning need the same. They need to be able to see truth, understand it, know what it looks like. And they need to see that they are following after you in it. So Father, with this, we come to you in praise because you are the substance of the day, of every day. And Father, we just lift this next short period of time up to you in your name. Amen. Well, guys, if you would, go ahead and turn with Acts chapter 1, and we're going to be picking up in verse 12. And so the title today is Praying in One Accord. Let's see where we get this title from. It's not very difficult to see. The disciples were with Christ. He gave them the final words, and he ascended up into heaven, and then they did something. Because he said, go wait, or listen, you will be, you said, go wait in Jerusalem. So this is what happens in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. Now, guys, I just want you to know something. This is a narrative. We've said that before. The Acts, you have to understand Acts this way continually. Acts is a narrative of what is actually going on. And you need to see it as just that, because what we have in the narrative, it's not that Christ now, they return back to the upper room. They return to the place in which Christ has many times just walked through closed doors, closed walls, showed up and instructed them, didn't he? We saw that over and many times that he met with them. Well, what we see here is we do not see Christ coming in and then saying, hey, listen, guys, let me get your attention. I want to give you a lesson here. I want to give you a lesson in praying in one accord with one another. We don't see that. What we have is a narrative. This is what happened. And so that's really what I want you to catch on. It may be simple for you, but this is what was going on. It was accounted for. It was written down within the Scripture because they were actually in one accord praying with one another. So for me this morning, I want you to know something. This is not just a sermon title, praying within one accord. This is where we need to be. This is actually, I want to impress hopefully upon the word on your mind this morning, that the Shepherd's Church, and you realize when I say that, that's not our sign outside. That is you, and that is me. The Shepherd's Church needs to know how, and needs to know, actually not even know how, That's part of the lesson, but needs to know that the narrative is being written. That we are praying in one accord. Now most people say that's a difficult task. If you really boil that down, if you said, hey listen, Nathan, how are you going to pull the Shepherd's Church together? How are we going to get the church to pray in one accord? Many people think that there's actually, unity is a very difficult thing. Wherever you go, any organization, if you look to a favorite team that you like to follow, or if you like to look within any other type of organization out there, your work setting, whatever, to get everybody in, truly to say, are we in one accord? You would get some people to maybe make a blanket statement. Yeah, we're in one accord. Then you go to one-on-one and say, hey, hey, how do you think about things? You give them an opportunity just to speak, right? Hey, hey, listen, closed doors, nobody knows. Boss won't know or somebody else won't know. Hey, do you think we're really in one accord? Because we keep talking about this. And just wait, and you'll probably hear the real truth of the matter of whether they're in one accord or not. So a lot of people think they don't, that this is, in the truest sense, not really possible. Well, I want to unwrap this for you this morning. I want you to see why this happened. Why and how did it take place? And then I want you to leave today with saying, I am not content unless I know this is taking place. This is what I want in this church. I want to be in this position with other brothers and sisters in Christ. This is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. And I want you to be listened through the words of Scripture of how that's even possible. So that's what we're going to do. So the first thing I want to walk you through is seeing is that one thing in Acts, what we're going to do is, it's been helpful we've gone through John, because you're going to see that the lessons that are necessary come from Christ, and now they're living those lessons out. They went back to what Christ told them to do. It's an obedience. We already see it already because He told them to go to Jerusalem. So what do? They went back to Jerusalem. But when they are told to pray, or when they're praying now, why are they praying? Is it just because that's what we do when we get together? Hey, we got to pray before our meals, got to pray at the beginning of our service. We got to, you know, that's just what we do. We just pray. I think it's a lot more than that. It's because they've been with Christ, and Christ had taught them and showed them. So we're going to go back to the teachings of Christ for the true lessons here. And there's many that Christ gave us on prayer, but the first one, the first thing I want you to see, necessary for us to pray in one accord, we absolutely have to be connected to the vine. There is no mistaking that we have got to understand, and we've gone through, so I'm not going to re-preach John chapter 15, but I want you to turn there because we're going to pull some points out of it. And maybe this will be like going back through it. And in John chapter 15, there's a couple things that I want you to see is that without Christ, we can't do this. I want you to know that our words must abide, or His words must abide in us, and you must ask for your desires. So John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that they may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered them and thrown them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. How important. After Christ is taken from them, for their minds to go back. Oh yeah, by the way, we remember what He told us. My joy is leaving me in a sense. My joy of Christ at first. We saw as Mary, as she wrestled with her joy because of how much she loved Christ. My joy. Where do I return? Where does my joy come from? Christ taught them. He taught them what to do. He wanted their joy to be full, and He wanted them to abide in Him. And so, when they came in one accord, here's what I believe it's an evidence of. They understood John chapter 15. And here's the first thing they understood. We cannot do anything without Christ. We cannot do anything without Christ. Why is that so important if we're going to pray in one accord? Why is this so important? Well, let's just say this. You know how important it was for the disciples? They would have and started to do what they thought they could do for Christ until Christ says, hang on one second. You slow down. I'm still going to lead you. You go and you wait for me. Well, what do I do when I wait? We've already handled this, right? What am I going to do, Christ? I'm ready. It's Peter. I'm ready. I took out my sword. I've already done all these things. I'm ready to go forward. What do I do? You will wait upon me. Why? Because they were learning. And let me help you out with this. They were learning that we cannot do anything without Christ. It won't happen. It is not going. We will never lose or never get to the point within our church where we can say we are not totally dependent upon God to do this. The church must have a dependency upon Him. If it's not clear, let's just say this, then we're not praying in one accord. If it's not clear our dependency is upon Christ, we are not praying in one accord. We are not united underneath the leadership of which God has called us to. We are under the leadership of Christ, thankfully. I stand before you as not the head of this church. Christ is the head of this church. I'm underneath His authority. And when we can understand that, not only understand that I'm underneath His authority, but with that, I can't do anything without Him doing it. We can sit, we can plan, we can talk. But if Christ is not doing it, we are laboring in vain. And so that's the first thing I want to get across to you, because as He talks about the vine as well, if we're going to be connected to Him and to be dependent upon Him, something is going to have to happen. He is going to have to remain the person who is pruning the vine. You get that? Because He said He's going to prune us. He's going to work on us. So what does that mean? Well, He's going to deal with your sin. He's going to produce within us humility. He's going to produce within us, listen to this, repentance. The vine has to be pruned. We have got to be connected to the vine. And also we will see that our strength is within Him. So guys, before we go any, just past this point, let me just say this. We could have a lot of things that we're praying for that look good. I don't want to just have a list of things that look good. I don't want that. In a sense, you don't need that. What you need is to understand is that we are looking for what Christ is doing. First and foremost. What is He doing? You'll see in a little bit of how important it is to keep up with that and keep Him first. But if He's not first and we think we're doing it, we will be shown. We will be like Peter and find out that we couldn't do it on our own strength. So I don't know where you're at with that, but the first point I just want you to understand is that we cannot do it without Him. The second thing is I want you to know, if we're going to pray in one accord, the Word must abide in us. There is no way to understand the will of God without His Word. There's no way. There is no spot where God has ever given to us anything more than His Word that tells us this is what my will is. So we cannot be in one accord and be in prayer with Him if His Word is not abiding in us. I want to say this. It is the substance of what we're praying for. Catch this for a second, because I'm going to give you a couple of verses. I'm going to go back to this. The substance of what we're praying for is His Word. What does that mean? Let's just see a couple of things in relationship to this that we've learned. John chapter 1. You can just listen as I read. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If His Word is not the light, then we are in the darkness. If we cannot get to what we're praying for and to say it is His Word, then we may be in darkness. Which is kind of scary sometimes because we think we're doing good. We think we're doing good. You remove the Word and you will continue to think, I'm doing good, I'm doing good, I'm doing good. Until eventually that Word comes back across to you and says, hey, listen. This has all been fabricated by your mind and your emotions. And it can happen. Another thing, as far as the Word abiding in us, I want to go to 1 John and read a few spots within 1 John that speaks very clearly of this as well. 1 John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. The substance where He says, let us not love in word or in deed. The substance is His Word and His commandments. That's what He's talking about. It has to be. And then when we can look at His Word, we can say, does my heart, based upon the Word, is my heart condemned in a sense? Do I see that I am not in line with His heart, His Word? Or do I have confidence towards God? For us to pray in one accord to God, we must pray with confidence, right? We must pray with confidence. It can't be like word and deed and just, this just religiously looks to be good. It has to be in truth. And one more out of 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Man, you got to love these verses of Scripture. These are the verses of Scripture that really get people fired up. And these are the verses of Scripture that people feel empowered with because He says, listen, you ask and you will receive. You hear that, right? It's God who's teaching it to them. The God of the universe created all things is saying, you will have these things. And He's telling you to ask of Him. Well, I can tell you what happens is sometimes we're not praying in one accord because we're praying about things and we're not asking things of Him. I'm praying about circumstances. I'm praying about this or that. What are we asking for? I want to give you an application to this. And I want to be careful. And I want you to come back if you don't understand what I'm telling you. But I believe this is something we need to focus in on our minds. We need to see. We need to look into our own lives. And here's what we need to do. We need to stop. Listen, and hopefully you understand this point. We need to stop praying for circumstances and pray for His Word. Let me explain that to you. Say it one more time. We need to stop praying for circumstances and pray for His Word. This is what we do. God, this is what's going on in my life. God, I need You to do a work here. God, this is what's happening I need your help. God, this is what I see. Can you do something different here? Can we give a different course of action? Or hey, this is, sometimes it's a struggle and sometimes it's a praise, but we have to get to the point where we're going to say, first step I'm going to do, I need to go to His Word. Find out what His Word says on the circumstance. And then pray for the power of His Word to do exactly what it says it can do. You may think that's, I'm talking, you're like, what's the difference? Because I'm still praying for my circumstances, right? But you are not, the circumstance is not the preeminent thing in your mind. Your mind says, I must understand the will of God. I have to know what His will is. And it doesn't mean I may not know how it's carried out with this direction or this direction. But I know the mind of God because His Word says this, and I'm going to offer back up, not my circumstance to God, I'm going to offer back up His Word first. And then I'm going to say, God, because of Your Word, this is what I see going on. It's the only way we're going to get to the point in John chapter 15 where He says, if you abide in Me, and it says, My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You see that? My Word abides in you, you will ask, and it will be done. You can't change this, but you can certainly mess it up. As soon as you put the word desire into any realm of this world, it seems like desires are like people, desires, as soon as you say the word desire, poof, it goes out in all kinds of different directions. Because desires are evidence of our hearts, and every single thing that's in this world is related to a desire, isn't it? Everything can boil down at some point to a desire. You slept in, you were late to work because you had a desire to sleep. Whatever it is, if you put forth a great amount of energy towards something because you had a desire for it. God is telling us, if you ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. We need the ability, if we're going to pray in one accord, we need to be able to pray for our desires. And most are scared to say that. And a lot of people, they go back to the verses of Scripture, like Psalm 37:4 says, listen, delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Why do we get it wrong? Why do we get it wrong? There's one way you get it wrong. If you think, if you go first with desire and you don't go first with the Word, when He says, ask according to desires, He means it. It is a work of Christ. As we look at what Christ has done and what He talks about abiding in the vine, it is a work of Christ to be so close to Him. And I say so close, not like it's hard to do, not like it's too far from you. If you go to His Word, then you can understand His desire, and then you can ask. And His desires, He's told us, He will make His desires what? Our desires. Don't be so scared of that. Be scared if the Word is not first. But if the Word becomes first, He wants you to go before Him in that. Now, does the church need some protection on this? Do we need to be careful how we handle that so that somebody doesn't... I mean, you hear it all the time. Somebody will come in. I mean, you'll just listen. Sometimes I hear people come in and say, yeah, I know God just gave this to me, just laid this right here before me. There's no way this could ever happen except for God. This is the only way this could happen. God just put this thing before me. I'm thinking, how did we ever clarify that that's the evidence of God just because it came open, an open door? I mean, that's the door we got to go into. The open door may be an open door to an elevator shaft, and the elevator is at the bottom. That doesn't mean we need to walk into it. But hey, it's there. All kinds of things that people say, man, and this happened. And even this sometimes, I've been praying for this. Listen to me. Don't come and say, I've been praying for this. The challenge for me in my own heart, and this is me preaching to myself, it's bouncing off the wall and hitting me right now. Don't let me say to you, I've been praying for that. And you say, what scripture goes along with that? I say, I don't know. Why don't I know? I may be able to recite a biblical principle to you. Why have I not taken the time to go get His Word? Why? It takes a little bit extra time, doesn't it? Hey, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to pray. Hey, God, I'm going to go before You. And I'm going to ask. Let me give you a verse of Scripture I think is going to help us out with this one. They heard this. They understood it. The Spirit of God worked in their life for this. But John chapter 16, verse 23, listen to this. This needs to set into your mind as a tool how we're going to move forward with this. John 16, 23 says, and in that day, there's a day coming, and in that day, you will ask Me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Do you see some common teachings here? Do you see some familiar words? Why do you think He did that? Well, because the disciples are just like us. We're going to forget, right? The time came, the disciples are alone without Christ, and their mind starts getting back to His teachings. Hey guys, He said this over and over again. He said, there will be a time when you will ask on My behalf to the Father. You see that? There will be a time, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Now, what seriousness does it put if we would stop before we prayed and say, this is going to be my prayer. I want to go before God and I'm going to address the Father with the heart of Christ. Has there been a time when you've gone and thinking of the Trinity, thinking of just in God, the way He speaks of it here, Father, I'm coming to You. But I'm coming to You on the basis of Christ, Your Son. On the basis of what Christ has said and done, I'm coming to You on His behalf, on behalf of what He said. I'm asking You to do what You said or what Christ said You would do. Does He really expect in prayer we would come with the seriousness of being able to go before God and say, on behalf of Your Son Christ, I'm asking this of You. You following me? Let me ask you something. Whose prayer is it at that point? What starts to happen? Whose prayer is it? Hey God, I want to address You. I want to come, like You said, the Holy of Holies has been ripped. You said I could come into Your presence. I'm not the perfect priest. I can come before You. And You've given me a right to ask things of You. But You've told me I can ask as on behalf of Your Son, Christ. On behalf of what He's doing. Now, how important is it to make sure it lines up with the work of Christ at that moment? How important is it for... And we're talking about God the Father to God the Son, right? Does any of us think He's going to get it wrong? He's not going to get it wrong. Hey, I want to come to You and ask You. I've not thought much about Your Word, but I think this is where things are headed. And I think this is what's going on. And I want to see if You want to do this. And I don't want You to do it on behalf of Christ. Does He not look at this like, I'm not going to be fooled here. I know the work of My Son. I sent My Son to the world for you. I know exactly what His work is. Why don't you? Why don't you know? Why don't we know the work of Christ in our prayers? Why do our prayers sound like there's no pleading from the position of Christ? Why do our prayers seem sound like it's a pleading from me? Why do when I go before God, it's me, 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 me? I'll tell you why. The Word. The Word is missing. Is missing in that. We're missing the principle. And so guess what we can't do? We can't pray in one accord. We can't pray in one accord. You know what it's going to look like? You know what our prayers will look like? Just a hodgepodge of things going all around. Where does the prayers come in and become solid based upon His Word? And this is where I can pray in absolute one accord because I know that this is His Word. Now you're praying in one accord. But if it's not, if His Word is not there, then what are we doing? And with that, I would just say, when that happens, though, the desires become so strong, don't they? Your desires are allowed to grow to such a strong level. Listen, I can give you examples. I almost want to be careful. There are so many examples going through my mind right now. I would love to just blast out over you of where sometimes you guys are praying for certain things, and I know why you're praying for them. They're related to the Word. They're related to relationships. They're related to people you love. And you're saying, God, I'm praying for them because I know you love them or you will love them. I know that you can save their soul. My desire is so strong that we reach them. You reach them. Use me to get there. Your desire starts to just elevate, doesn't it? It's not wishy-washy anymore. Now it's, Father, you walk away with power from that. Not internal power based on me. Power based upon His Word. And that's exactly what they were doing. That's exactly the spot they were at. They were in Jerusalem praying with one accord. That's the words we have. What does it mean? All the things in which Christ has taught us, that's what they were doing. It says they were praying in one accord because they were. They weren't making it up. It wasn't just some type of false unity. It was clear unity, and we're going to get to see forward the result of that. They had some desires. They asked of God. Based upon His Word is where they went. Just to make, I wasn't going to preach this next section in Acts, but immediately afterwards, they meet a little bit later. You know what they do? They're going to choose another disciple to be with them. You know what they do? You know how they realize they need to choose another one? You know what they do? Peter remembers the Word. He remembers the Word that was spoken in the past. And so he does. Hey, the Word said this. This has got to be the will of God. Now we're going to do. That's what happened. You can just read ahead. I'm not going to preach a whole lesson on it. The disciples over and over did this. Here's where we're at. Here is His Word that He spoke to us. Now here's what we're going to do. Follow me. There's Christ. He's not here, but He spoke to us. There's His Word. Here's what we're going to do. So let me ask you something in closing. If you can remember these things, of why or how it is that we're going to pray in one accord. Many, many things we can study. But first of all, look, we just went through it. So knowing it's not something we can do. We've got to be connected to the vine. It's got to be His Word. What are we going to do? What does it mean for the Shepherd's Church to pray in one accord? And I'm not even here to tell you that we're not. It's always easy to say what we're not doing, isn't it? I'm just here to challenge you. I'm here to challenge you and to ask you that if we're not, this is where we need to be. And so here's some things I'm going to ask you to do. From this point forward, I want to change something. And I want to change something that's going to take just as much. And I'm going to say the word work, because God says that uses the word work, and He calls work good. Labor is a good thing. So I'm going to work, and I'm going to labor on something. And I'm going to confess to you and let you know that my prayers need to be saturated more with His Word. And I don't want to speak to you about prayers without a word that goes with it. I'm not saying it's going to be every single time. But we need to slow way down. If we're just firing out prayers, just firing them out. Just, hey, praying all the time, right? Pray without ceasing. That's what we're doing. Just praying. If it's not a spot, we're slowing down and say, whoa, wait a second. I just went to the King. And I made a request of Him. I don't know about you. When I walk into my boss's office and I make a request for him, I'm prepared. I'm prepared for the request. If I'm going to ask something of him, I'm prepared. If we're not being prepared, we need to slow down a little bit. And I think it's okay to do that. I think it's okay. Because the opposite could be praying not in accordance with him. Now, how dangerous would that be? How long would it take for him to turn us around? Some of you have been going for years. Some of you have been going for a long time. A lot of prayers. In a few words. I say that with sadness because where did we get off track? I mean, where did we lose the way? What did we think it was going to happen in some other spot? We just said, hey, I'm praying in your name. By the way, guess what they started doing during this time? You know how we said we pray in the name of Jesus? They started doing that during this time. Matter of fact, right here in Acts where we're at. This is where they started doing it. You know why they did it? Because He told them to do it. And it wasn't just, hey, I'm closing out my prayer in the name of Jesus. There you go. Done. Got it. Sealed. Done. I'm praying in the name of the Son. I'm going to offer up His prayers. You see where I want to be? It's not me, in all honesty. It's either that or it's not that. It's either praying in accordance this way or we're not doing that. There's only one way to pray in accordance with His will. There's not multiple ways to that. There's only one way. I'm thankful that with us, it's only become hard if we've made it hard. All it's going to take is some time to get back to His Word. We've got to get back to His Word. That's what we've got to do. And I want you to join me on this. Here's what I'm going to do in closing. So they're praying with one accord. So I've thought about what's a proper way for closing a message and praying one accord. I think we need to pray in one accord. I'm going to ask you to do something because I'm not done talking. We're not closing song. We're closing prayer today. Almost somehow, I want you to form a circle around this section of pews right here because I think there's more people over here. I don't know. You guys are balanced pretty good. We're gonna stand around in a circle. And I want to share some stuff with you. And then we're going to pray. That's how we're going to close out. Because we need to be asking of God to honor His Word. So if you would, just join me right down here. Just form a circle, whatever tight enough circle that you can.